Amen. Please be seated. Just a short prayer before we start. What we know not, teach us. What we are not, make us. What we have not, give us. Amen. It's a joy to be with you here again. Lyndon and I, we were rehearsing earlier. I first met Lyndon in 1970, and we've been friends for many years since. Now, today is Father's Day. Sometimes fathers have a bad time. Two boys were arguing about their fathers. One said to the other, "My father can beat your father." He said, "That's nothing. My mum can beat my father." We come across many examples of failed fathers, overindulgent, abusive, critical, absent, insensitive, uncaring, sometimes over-reserved. And here in our reading, Jesus was criticized because he met with those that the religious elite considered outcasts. He welcomes sinners and eats with them. And here Jesus tells a story of what the true father is like. Some little while later, he actually shows in action what the father was like. Remember the story when mothers were bringing children to Jesus for him to bless them, and we read that he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, if you've seen Sunday school drawings, they all look pristine. The children, not a hair out of place. That's not life. I can well imagine Jesus picking up, and he goes, "Whoa." The smell. Oh, runny noses. But they all look wonderful. Now, this is my reasoning. If Jesus picked up children even like that, in the state that they were, the Heavenly Father cares for us in the state that we are this morning. And so, he not only on that occasion acted out for them what the Father's like. In this reading, we have the account of what the Father is like through a story. And here you've got the prodigal son parable. I think it should rather be called the prodigal son's father, because he's the one who comes out a bit special. He had been the insulted father. His boy, maybe 17, 18 years of age, said, "Father, I want you to split up the money, split up the estate, and you give me what's my right." He would have got one third of the estate. That was an insult in the village. "Have you heard what the boy did to this father? How shameful that he treated." So the father was insulted, but as I was considering this, I realized we've all gone wrong. We've all failed the father. It was good that we had confession earlier. When you think of things that we've gone wrong, out of the Ten Commandments, there's four which are directed to God and six which are addressed to roundabout. Usually, when we think of how we fail God, we think of the six. I haven't done this. I've treated them badly. I've done. And yet, how often do we think of the way that we have failed God? I have got in the habit now, every morning, first thing, of reciting before God those four opening ones. "You shall have no other gods before me. God, I have failed, and I haven't made you supreme in my life. I have made other things supreme. I have failed not just because of the way I've treated others, but God, the way I've treated you. And then the second one is, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for in the likeness of me any image, an idol. What have I replaced God with in my life? What has taken his place in my thinking, in my living, in the things I give my energy toward? Someone, I came across this quite recently, an idol, not a normal sized desire for something evil, but an overpowerful desire for something good. What controls my thinking? So we've failed, all of us. All we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah tells us. So there's the insulted father. But the crux of this story is the welcoming father. He saw him a long way off. Jesus was telling the story that the father was there every day looking out. Is my son going to come back today? Is this the day when he'll come back? Oh, how I've missed him. He saw him a long way off. He's been searching for him. He's been looking. And then in the distance, he saw his son coming. He recognized something of the outline of his lad. He saw his state. He saw his need. And he ran to him. This would have been terribly insulting in the village. Here he was, the grand man of the village, putting his robes together, holding on to them, and running through the streets. Full of joy, full of compassion, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The kiss of love, the kiss of welcome, the kiss of acceptance, the kiss of forgiveness. Lyndon and I often walk the dogs, and a friend was telling me just this week about, he said, you walk the dog and the dog rolls itself in things you would rather not know about, often things that the fox has left behind. But he said, you wash it and you still love it. Oh, if we can treat our dogs like that, how much more the Heavenly Father. And then this father welcomed his son. He had been a failure. He had failed his father, but he wasn't rejected. He was unwashed, but he was embraced. He couldn't forget the son. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. That's what it says in one of the previous parables there. Joy in heaven. But then it says there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. That's referring to the Father shares joy with anyone who comes back to know him. The welcoming Father. The generous father. I don't know about you, but I can remember my mother saying to me, you've come home, have you? I stayed out too long. The father could have said that. You finally come home. Are you going to apologize? John Trapp was a 17th century Anglican vicar. And he said, I would have understood if the father had kicked him or killed him. Instead, the father kissed him. He was overwhelmingly generous. Oh, my dear friend, God is overwhelmingly generous to us as well. 2 Corinthians 8, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. That's something of the generosity of God for us. Or Ephesians 1, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the richness of his grace. The richness of his grace. Ephesians 2:4, because of his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy made us alive in Christ. Oh, my friends, do you know the richness of the Heavenly Father towards you? Generous. My God will supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you know the richness of God in your life? I was reminded there in the vestry, Lyndon had a book by a fellow called William Haslam. He was a vicar in Cornwall in the 1800s. And hundreds of people were cramming into church. I mean, for the next service, they sometimes had to get them out through the windows. Anyway, he was preaching the sermon one day, and suddenly it dawned on him the truth of what he was saying, that Christ died for me, that I can become his. And it dawned on him, it showed in his face, and someone in the congregation stood up and said, "The vicar, he's been converted." And everyone was excited. My friend, that can happen. Our previous vicar in the church I went to became a Christian after he became a vicar. He went back to his previous church to apologize to them, to say, "I was trying to lead you to the Lord, and I didn't know the Lord myself. I knew all the ways, I knew all the what I had to do, but I didn't know God through Jesus Christ." Do you know God as your loving Heavenly Father? And the Father was not only generous, he was a restoring Father. He dealt with the past, covered over. He said, "Now you have a future." Thank God, when we come to God through Jesus Christ, he not only deals with our past, he walks with us now, and he gives us a future. Thank God. When you look at the news, you do wonder about the future. The world in my lifetime is almost worse now than it has ever been. I did a check, and currently there are 110 armed conflicts going on in the world. The future. But God gives us a future in Christ. And so he was restored. The Father said, "Bring the best robe and put it on him." The best robe was in fact the Father's own robe. He was being restored to honor in the household. Give him a ring. That meant he had authority in the household. Shoes, sandals on his feet. In those days, the only one who wore sandals was the father of the house. Even guests, when they came in, would take their sandals off. But no, for the son, he was given the right to sandals, meaning that he had freedom in the house. And then let's kill the fatted calf. And so what Jesus is saying, the Heavenly Father is doing what I've been accused of. I welcome sinners and I eat with them. There it is. Friends, do you know God as your loving Heavenly Father through Christ? Do you have a relationship with God? Allow this passage to teach you what the Heavenly Father is like. Do you know how much he cares for you and for me? That he gave up his only son for us? Oh, my friend, don't let anything keep you from knowing the Father. And if you do know him, oh, get to know him better. Get to know him better. Don't allow your failure to keep you from the Father. Don't allow anything to keep you from knowing him. I commend to you this morning God, the loving Heavenly Father, and may he be your Father in an even deeper way from this morning on, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's just pray a moment. Oh, loving God and our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this story about you and the greatness of your love, even towards those who failed. And Father, we confess we've all failed, and yet you welcome us back through your Son. Lord, speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit that we will get to know you better. If we've not known you personally, we'll get to know you today. If we do know you, that we will grow in knowledge of you and of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lead us, Father, until one day you enter us into that eternal future with you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.